Hi guys, welcome back to the Nevermind Polly podcast. My name is Matt, I'm your host, and we chat to rock and metal bands from around the world. How are you doing? How are you living? I hope you're all doing well. Whatever you're listening to the podcast, we appreciate you for checking out the show. My guest this time around is the excellent Aaron of Crushed by Waves. We chat about their brand new record, which is called More to Life. It is out on the 22nd of March. And it is absolutely fantastic. This conversation was recorded at the start of February 2024. And this was really, really fun. I really, really did enjoy this interview. Aaron is full of energy, full of life. And he's just an absolute force to be reckoned with. And long may that continue. We talk about their Download Festival experience when they played in 2023 at the Takeover. We talk about the new album, the creation of the new album. We talk about the Soak Zone. We talk about Taylor Swift a little bit as well. It's just a really, really great conversation. I really feel like you guys are going to enjoy it. I want to say a massive thank you to Jamie, their PR people, for sorting this one out for us. You are a legend. And this is just a really, really great conversation. So strap yourselves in, grab yourself a cuppa, and get down the front for this one, because it is an absolute fantastic conversation. This is the excellent Aaron of Crushed by Waves on the Nevermind Polly podcast. Let's get to it. Hi guys, welcome to the Nevermind Polly podcast. My name is Matt, I'm your host, and we chat to rock and metal bands from around the world. And it's my absolute pleasure to bring you this conversation this time around. This time around, I'm sat with Aaron of the band Crushed by Waves. How are we doing? How's things?
Hey, I'm good, man. I'm good. Oh, look at the light effects. That's cool, isn't it?
I mean, if you're... So for those who are on Spotify and YouTube, you've just had a really cool light effect. I've now got a bit of epileptic warning in there, but it's all good.
Trigger warning.
Was that Zoom? That was Whirlwind.
I have no idea. Was that you or was that me? Yeah. Or... I definitely did do that, but that was better than our live show. What you just experienced there was like 4K. It was like Avatar, honestly. If you haven't, if you're not watching it with the visuals, you need to just for that moment.
That was incredible. I don't know what happened there. I mean, I said your name and like all the lights just lit up like a rock
Weird,
star.
Weird, so man. That was cool. I enjoyed that. Just say it loads and we'll just have light show for like the whole podcast.
Absolutely. So first and foremost, thank you for coming on the show. We're here to talk about your brand new record, which will be out on the 22nd of March. Ooh. For recording purposes. We're recording this at the start of February because podcast land doesn't go out live, as although some people may think it does. It doesn't. We're still pre-recorded.
don't kill the magic, Matt. Come on, mate. People want to believe in Santa Claus.
I'm trying, mate. So yeah, it's called More Than Life. More to Life. And I've been sent it since January. I've listened to it loads. It's an absolutely fantastic record.
Oh, sick.
My first question is, how are you personally feeling ahead of the record's release? What's the mood like in camp? What's kind of the vibe right now?
We're excited, mate. This is proper like the fruits of our collective labour, because we've been sort of so busy really with like live shows and just starting as a band and finding our sound and doing all kinds, you know, touring and playing festivals and different things, and sort of like the whole writing experience in and amongst that's been crazy, because the band's been growing and the following's been really, really fun and really kind to us. So it's nice as a collective for what we've been up to, but yeah, we're nervous, man, as well. Like, you know what I mean? We've never released anything like this before. It's our first ever album. So, yeah, it's exciting, but nerve-wracking at the same time. We hope that people enjoy it and enjoy the variety of stuff that's on there. I think it demonstrates what we're capable of. And it is literally, you know, an immediate starting point for us, because we're already on to writing more. So, absolutely. Yeah, it's good.
That's the one thing that I love about a debut from a band, because, and correct me if you feel like I'm talking out of turn, because obviously you're the one in the band, right? But I kind of think when a debut comes out, it's the explosion, right? It's the big bang. It's like, this is who we are. And then because of the big bang that is the album, all the things kind of scatter from that. And then on the second one, you can go, right, okay, so that was a cool thing. Let's see how far we can push that thing. And then the next thing is like, let's see how far we can push that. And it's kind of expand and finding almost the walls of your sound, if that makes sense. And I love that. And this album has got so many different flavors and textures. It's fucking excellent. Like I say,
thank you, mate.
I kind of wanted to ask, how does the creative process for this work? Because although it is all those things of being brilliant and eclectic and kind of different, there's a lot going on. How do you kind of, as a group of individuals, rein that stuff in and like make this a cohesive experience for the listener?
We're all fucking mental, mate, I think. so that's a starting point. Yeah, you know, we've got like Tom and over in his world, you know, Tom with all the tattoos, like, you know, he's big into like hip hop and like, you know, he's into grime. He listens to all kinds of stuff, like a lot of pop punk as well. And, you know, Andy's into like a lot of grunge and Dan's into a lot of like heavier stuff. I'm into everything, so that doesn't help. So yeah, just like a proper mixture. I suppose it really starts either with riffs on the guitar, or it might start with me on the laptop and I'm sort of like writing melodies and stuff like that. And each song is started in a slightly different way, but you know, collectively I'm sort of bringing all those elements together on my laptop. And then as soon as I've got like something I can start layering on, I can sort of build the blocks from there, like layering a cake. And you know, melody for me was always going to be the most important thing, no matter what. I love a hook. I love something that's like, that's going to stick in your head. People are going to remember that. And I also want to hear people sing that live. You know what I mean? I want to make it easy for everyone to sort of join in on those like key lines and stuff. And I think that's what draws me in on a lot of music I listen to, is like, you know, if it's got a killer hook, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah,
absolutely. I'm sold. So I hope people enjoy like those little hooks, those little moments in the tracks as well. You know, it's kind of making all those little elements work, because it is so varied, but you know, it's enjoyable as a process. It's a challenge, and let's just see as well what elements that people seem to be enjoying from us, like, because again, it's still very much early doors for us. We're just sort of like, yeah, we can go heavy as fuck, and yeah, we can do some of the poppy elements as well. We can sit in the middle as well, so it's fun. You know, we're still exploring and still just having fun with it.
I think that's the thing as well. There's definitely going to be a few people going, whoa, what is this? Because like, the start of the album starts off in one place, and then you get to like the middle of the album, and sometimes you have to sort of go, am I listening to the same? No, I'm definitely listening to the same. Like Spotify, and shuffles. I think that's so important, because in the kind of age we're in now with Spotify, like playlisting and things like that, it used to be conventionally like, if you bought like a rock album or a metal album, you kind of, for the most part, knew what you were going to get, because they wouldn't like go outside of that boundary. But now it's so exciting because you can break through all the boundary and there is no rules. Do you know?
Keep those fuckers guessing, man. You know, you've got the variety pack there. Some people like prawn and cocktail. Some people like cheese and onion. You know, you just got to cycle through it. But, you know, it is fun. And I like to surprise people as well. We like to surprise ourselves. Like sometimes in the writing process, I'm thinking, if I can predict what's about to happen next, I don't like it. So I like to almost subvert that and go against the grain of like, okay, well, this is what I would expect would happen, or this is what I expect to do. So I'm gonna have to trick myself to do something interesting, so that I can sort of surprise other people as well. And it's kind of like different scenes as well. That's kind of how I imagine it in my head, is sort of like each sort of setting you're in is a different scene. So like if you're in a verse, or if you're in a chorus, you're in a different environment, you're sort of in a different space. And creating like special little moments within those tracks as well, sort of like little breaks away from the heaviness and little things just to sort of like give you an experience as a flow. But I think as an album to play, it's gonna be fucking wild to play it live, because we're really coming at it with like fucking both barrels here. So yeah, it's exciting.
Awesome stuff. And that's the thing as well. You are, so again, podcasting is a weird thing. So this is gonna go out after you've been on the tour with October Ends, I forgot to say their name then, October Ends and Cabin Boy Jump Ship, or however that's pronounced. I can never fucking
remember. Yeah, it's greedy, that. It's too many words. I'm joking. Too many words.
I wanted to ask, how do you kind of, as a band and sort of personally, approach tour? Because it is kind of this really cool thing, like getting your mates together, getting in the van and just fucking having it. But also there is kind of the other thing of that, of saying like, cool, I'll like husband, wife, family, I'll see you in a few days. Like, do you know what I mean? It's that juxtaposition. How do you find that personally and also as a band?
Really fun. It's the best part of being a musician, has been able to go out and play live shows. That's what any, I think, musician will tell you. It's like the best part of the process, interacting with people, you know, feeding off the energy of the room, or creating that energy in a room. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes we're like the first band on or whatever, and it's our job to really sort of like blast it and bring people up. And I love it, and I see it as a challenge. Like every time we go out there, you know, we're always learning something. Something will go wrong, piece of equipment will break, or something will fucking need taping up, or do you know what I mean? Or we're staying in some dodgy hotel, or whatever it is. And it's a fun experience. Like the whole thing is just its own little adventure, and it's fun doing it with your mates as well. You know what I mean? So yeah, we get on. We sort of dive in there, and then we make mates with the other bands as well. That's always fun. So we're making new mates along the way, and you know, you come up with ways to spend time after sound check and before sound check, and just piss about. And you know what, it's really fun. But you know, for those moments where you need to switch on, like me in particular, I'm like the boring fucker because I'm the singer. Yeah, so sure. It's like, it's normally like me and the other fucking singers all huddled together, like steaming our vocals or like drinking water and doing some weird rituals, casting spells in the corner, and then there's like everyone else just fucking dicking about. And then, you know what I mean? Like, I'd love to be a guitarist sometimes because they've got fucking no responsibility whatsoever. Like, tune the guitar. Yeah, that still works. That'll do. All right, sound onto the beer or something like that. Do you know what I mean? Whereas me, I'm like silent. I'm like, you know, I might be drinking tea or having a vocal zone or doing some warm ups. And like, I need to save my voice. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, fucking hell, give it a break. But yeah, I wish I could like be more loud and proud on some of the days. After the shows, I'm like, yeah, I've uncaged the beast and it's too late. I'm gone. I've already let rip. It's like I'm off the chain. I'm gone. But then sort of like, you know, preparing for the next show, I'll sort of slip back into like a strict routine, try and get some, you know, well-earned shut-eye, hopefully, either in the van or, you know, at the hotel.
Yeah.
And yeah, just pray that, you know, you can maintain it and keep it going, and as long as you can. This instrument can fuck, you know what I mean? So you've got to protect it, you know?
Well, this is the thing. Like, you know, every other instrument on a stage that you can conceivably think of can be replaced, can be like bought again, can be strings can be retuned, can be bought, skins for drumsticks can be replaced. Your vocal, if that's fucked, unless you've got a wicked guitar that can sing as well, do you know what I mean? Like, you can like almost say, well, actually, guitar, you can do that today. I'm absolutely fucked, do you know what I mean? But if your voice goes, it's kind of, it is a sense of responsibility, I suppose. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, of course, man. I want to make sure that people, you know, get the full experience. People get to see the full show, and I can live up to that and play up to that, you know, and, you know, give people exactly what they came for, which is like the Crushed by Wave sort of experience. So I am conscious of that sort of responsibility, really, to make sure that the show does go ahead and that, you know, we're giving 110, and I'm not sort of like too reckless or too careless with that. So I do try and look after it as best I can, you know, within reason, and touch wood, like, you know, so far, you know, it's going well. Don't want to fucking jinx anything now.
No, absolutely not. I think there is a spate of kind of luck. You have to have a little bit of luck in life, right? And that is so true with bands, but also a lot of hard work goes into Crushed by Wave and various other bands and what you guys do to get where you're at. I wanted to talk about the Download Festival takeover moment, because that was a really, really, I felt like there was, so I interviewed the band South of Salem. I don't know how familiar you are with that band. They had an experience as Stone Dead a couple of years ago, where it felt like, boom, the everyone was like, oh, now I get it. Like, this is the band, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, it clicked, man.
It kind of felt like that for Crushed by Wave, because for those of you who don't know, you guys took part in the takeover, which is essentially it's a competition, isn't it? Like, you guys have to compete against various other bands to get a panel to pick your band to play the festival. And it's a super hard process. So I wanted you to talk about that for a second. How was that process? How did you find sort of first applying to kind of getting to stage, and how was all that?
It was wild. It was probably the best experience of our lives so far. So yeah, it was just incredible. Like, we've never experienced anything like it, but it was like the pinnacle of everything that we've ever dreamed of, everything we've ever worked towards as musicians, as music fans ourselves. Like, it was so weird because we were at Download as fans 10 years ago, and me and Dan were in the crowd together watching Rammstein, and we didn't know each other from Adam, but we're both watching this band on stage, pyros going off left, right, and center. We're like, oh man, I'd fucking love to be in a band. I'd love to do that. That'd be incredible. Like, this would make my dream come true, sort of thing. So we're both having that same like epiphany there in the crowd, and then 10 years later, we're in a band and we're playing at that festival together, and it's so bizarre. Like, you never think it's gonna happen to you, and I wish and I hope that every band or every musician gets that opportunity, because you know you want that for people. It's such a incredible experience. The takeover, people that run that thing, is just the best group of people in the world. You know, to make opportunities like that a possibility for smaller bands like us was just fucking insane. So Hebs and all of her team, all of her crew that supported us through that process, I'm just eternally grateful, you know. And we still speak to Hebs, we still get on really well with that team. And Hebs is coming to our live show, and we've seen her at a live show before. So it has been the starting point as well for a lot of things. You know, we've had our BBC Radio 1 plays, we've had, you know, so much different sort of success with live shows, and, you know, people starting to get around now, what the fuck is going on? Because we had this whole thing of whilst we were there, it was who the fuck are we? You know what I mean? In comparison to all these bands on the 20th year anniversary, when it's sold out, it's the biggest year it's ever done with the biggest bands in the world. And we're just who the fuck are we? It's what the fuck are we doing here? This is just mental. We felt proper imposters all the way through. And we come up with this hashtag. It was who the fuck are Crushed by Waves? And we started chanting it at shows. Who the fuck are Crushed by Waves? And we started doing this thing, you know, and getting people going. And it was sort of a moment where we actually thought, you know, sometime down the line, we've done these shows and we've done these tours and we were putting things out. Go, you know what, boys, we fucking, you know, we know who we are. We know what we're doing. This is our music. People are enjoying what we're doing. So we've got a direction and we're just firing in all cylinders now, you know, with the album and these shows and stuff like that. But the whole experience was just bizarre. I don't know if there's any other word for it. It's if your dream is to win the lottery and you want to be a billionaire, or you want to scratch a lottery ticket and win 130 million, that elated feeling of just fulfilling your dream all at once. It was so weird, walking out onto a download stage and seeing a sea of people. I can't compare that to anything. It's the most exhilarating, most mind-boggling experience. So I was fuck. how am I ever going to experience that again? So I just want to get back to that now.
Absolutely. And I'm one of the people who was a sea of that people. Because
amazing.
I went to I wasn't actually due to go to Download Festival 2023, but essentially I got a ticket 2 weeks before the festival happened. And whoa. I'm going to make a few people jealous. I got it for 200 quid on resale.
Whoa.
I know, right? And nice. I say, I'm getting married in July of this year. And I said to my partner,
congratulations.
I said, Rebecca, I have this Metallica twice. And I need to miss that shit.
Man.
She was just like, you've got the time. Just go. I'll see you in 5 days. I was like, love you, thanks.
now that is why you're marrying the girl. That is clearly, that is marriage material right there.
Absolutely. Yeah,
get that ring on it.
Absolutely. And it was just one of those things, because the Border Takeover is such a an integral thing, because you say, it brings eyes to bands like yourselves, like October Ends, obviously, who played as well. Yeah. And it's it just shines a light on artists. And, you know, for a lot of the time, you have to be your own social media. You have to be your own advertisers. You have to you have to embody what you do to be get noticed. But having that is just it's the perfect opportunity to be cool, we've just got to go out there and smash it. And then hopefully there'll be, if there's 5,000 people in that crowd, if 100 of them go, oh, that was cool, I'm gonna go check that out, that's 100 people converted into the Crushed by Waves camp, if that makes sense, you know.
Yeah, of course. No, it was just weird, you know what I mean? As you say, it's a great opportunity for smaller bands. So we're going to fucking do this. I made all the visuals that go on behind it. So I made that on my phone on an app.
That's amazing.
I make all the visuals to make it all lovely. And, you know, we had these big, massive, three huge screens behind us. And we saw people. I wasn't expecting anyone to know us. I wasn't expecting anybody to be there of any note that would know the band. But there was people on the barrier with Crushed by Waves t-shirts on and stuff. I was just what the fuck? This is just too weird. This is too crazy. And we lived every single second of that to the fullest. We didn't take for granted a single second of it. So, you know, we really enjoyed being side stage with other bands. We met Nova Twins and you know, Sean Smith and a load of cool people. And it was just so much going on. We was watching bands as music fans, meeting other artists in the artist camp and the artist area and stuff like that. It's just so surreal. You can't ever sort of put it into words, but I think it's just made us more hungry to keep going, and more determined just to make that happen. Like, we understood that it was going to take, you know, some proper graft to get back to download, but that is honestly like the journey that we're on at the minute. You know, just going to keep massively powering through, and I hope we get back there, because it's just like the best experience of my whole life.
Absolutely.
It's wild.
You mentioned imposter syndrome. I wanted to do, and people are going to be sick of me talking about this, but it's the perfect thing, right? So I was at 2000 Trees Festival last year, and I interviewed a few bands, and one of them was a band called As Everything Unfolds.
Yeah.
Who are really dear, dear friends and whatnot. And I was interviewing John of that band, and I just went to him. I said, after the interview, I said, thanks for the interview. I said, I'm so fucking, I just shouldn't be here. I said, I'm such an imposter. And he looked over his shoulder, and there was Dan P. Carter of Radio 1 there. And he went, unless you're that guy, everyone's winging it. Don't fucking worry about it. Right? And
there's the pressure's off.
Every time I'm like in a situation, I'm like, oh, it doesn't matter. Like, I'm not that, it doesn't matter. It's all good. Everyone else here has just silently, internally just gone, oh, fuck. Like, what am I doing here? Like, absolutely crazy.
Yeah. Fuck yeah, man. Just like, everyone around me knows what they're doing. So it literally is just winging it. I'm just like, you know, the stage managers are all pointing in different directions. And we're like, yeah, of course, this is totally normal. Yes. Yeah, we're really used to massive stages and screens like this. This is like every day for us. So we're just, totally unfazed. Inside, you're like, ah, fuck. But yeah, it's fun. Yeah, it's good fun.
So I wanted to, something I like to do with my artists when I get the opportunity is to take them right back to the very beginning. When you were a small wee lad, and you've got a fairly northern accent, I'm not 100% sure whereabouts in the north you were born, but what was your kind of early upbringing in terms of music? Was there music in the house? Was it family, friends? How did you fall into the alternative scene, as it were?
Yeah, I mean, there was always music in the house. Sometimes music I didn't want to listen to, like my mum used to blast tunes in the car, like she'd be listening to like Cher and, you know, Tom Jones and Elton John and all kinds. Like, she would be blasting tunes that way. But my dad used to play the guitar to me, and that's where it really fascinated me. And he would sing as well. He had an amazing voice, and, you know, incredible. Like I was just mesmerized that music could come out of like a wooden box type thing with strings on it. I was just like, oh, that's just fucking mental. So watching, you know, my dad sing, watching him play, and just like, it almost hypnotized me. And I was like, no matter what was going on in my world, that just like completely captivated me. And then, you know, I started to try and pick up the guitar myself, started playing that guitar. And then I started playing at different things. I played it playing musical instruments around the house. And when there was like little things going on in school, I would like, I'd do the plays, you know, like the musical things and different things. And it was fun. I think I did Grease Lightning or something. I was John Travolta, or the whoever the character is, you know, in Grease.
The next Crushed by Waves show, I want to see Summer Loving as a cover at the end. That's like the new thing you've got to do.
Yeah. All right, boys, listen up. We're switching it up today, okay? Yes. Don't ask any questions. Just get the wigs on and put the pants on, all right? I say nothing. Really fun. We talk about switching things up and, you know, keeping people guessing. That would be really fucking, I really do it. But yeah, no, I used to do like school plays and musicals and things. And I think it just spiraled from there. I've been loads of little bands and projects. But you always dreamed of like, you know, being in a band that could, you know, do what these other bands were doing. Cause like, I grew up like listening to all kinds of bands, especially through like, you know, high school and stuff like that. I was such an emo. Do you know what I mean? Had the fringe and everything to prove it. But
I tried to have the fringe, mate. I couldn't do it. I've not got the lost looks that you have.
It was an obnoxious fringe. It was just too much. You know, I was like the goth on the beach on family holidays. You know what I mean? Yeah, like all these normal people, and then there's the goth on the beach next to them. That was that guy. Do you know what I mean? Oh, totally embarrassing. I feel bad for my family now, but yeah, it was, these are fun times, I think, growing up. And, you know, musically, like, another thing that blew my mind is like, so Skindred, I used to listen to Skindred a lot in school. And then we was playing at Takedown Festival with them, and I was sat on stage with Skindred. And I was like, what the actual fuck is going on in my life right now? Because I don't think this is real. Ben, I got a fist bump off Benji, and I thought if the young me that used to just like, be just completely mesmerized by these bands could see this. Now, I never would have believed it. You know what I mean? Like, people in school used to take the piss because you were into music. Used to take the piss out of the songs you listened to, or the, you know, because people were very much in categories almost in school. It was like you're pigeonholed. So because I was like the rocker and the emo and stuff like that, and you know, people sort of like, they took the piss a lot, you know what I mean? But looking at it now, it's like they're working McDonald's and I play at Download Festival. So it's right, fucking hilarious, really, what goes on in life. It's you never can predict where it's going to go, but I suppose that's all part of the fun.
Absolutely. Speaking of Skindra real quickly, so I was, again, this is 2003, so I was interviewing a real good friend of the show, Simon, for the band Raptors. And
oh, I love that band. Yeah.
And Dan from Skindred just wanders over, fist bumps Simon, obviously they know each other, and I'm just sat there and he's like, "Hi, I'm Dan, I'm playing Skindred." And I was like, "Mate, I've been to like 25 of your fucking shows."
I know who you are.
And it was kind of, I think I took him aback of being like, "Huh, well, fair enough." Like, do you know what I mean? I was just like, "It's like, how has this fan infiltrated this area? What's he doing?"
Yeah. Again, that imposter syndrome. Any minute now, security's going to drag us all out of the foot by our fucking heels. Like, I'm sorry. Yeah. We had that. We had that eye over our shoulder the whole time. At various different places, we're just like, "Fuck." Yeah, we're going to get dragged out any minute now.
So I wanted to ask, what was the first album you bought with your own money, if you can remember what it was? Or, and you know what, I think some people will go, "Oh no, I'm not going to talk about it because I'm ashamed it was this, that." And there is no shame, because there's no such thing as a guilty pleasure. I will say that my playlist varies for everything from Lorna Shore and, you know, silly heavy stuff, which is fantastic, all the way to Taylor Swift. And you know what, I'm gonna say it again on the podcast, I fucking love Taylor Swift, my brother.
Yeah, you're right, mate. Swifty. My brother,
who has got no interest in music. He's like, "Well, yeah, music, whatever." He managed to secure Taylor Swift. And I was like, "How have you got Taylor
Swift tickets?" Wow.
Him and his partner. And I'm like, "How?" It's like the fucking hottest ticket at the minute.
The Holy Grail at the minute, mate. Yeah, it's the hottest ticket on the market.
That and Sleep Token.
Fuck, did you try and get Sleep Token tickets today? Because I didn't.
No.
I did not get them.
I'll be honest. I really admire the thing with Sleep Token in terms of the rise and how popular they're just not for me. I'm not, you know, I'm probably going to get, "Oh, you fuck it." I don't hate them. I think they're really mad talented, just not for me, but they'll do Download next year. 100%. That's
Of course, man. They'll be there. They'll be fucking there. Yeah.
I mean, go straight to the top, I would have thought. But
they really float my boat. You know what I mean? They tickle me in ways that I can't describe, man. Cause like, there's always that element of surprise. And I talk about that element of surprise all the time. Those fucking boys know how to surprise you. Like, you don't know where the fuck you are. Sometimes you're in space. Sometimes you're in the ground. Like, you're fucking all over the place. So they create scenes like you wouldn't believe. They're like the masters of the scene at the minute. But I love seeing the progress that they're making. And I think it's like, within this scene, within this sort of like genre, you know, if one does well, we all do well. Like, bringing that alternative sort of like metalcore to the masses is like, so valuable, you know, and getting that out there and, you know, keeping this sort of scene alive. It's like, we see boys doing well, girls doing well. We're like, "Fuck yeah, go fucking forth and prosper. You paved the way," do you know what I mean, for the rest of us. So I'm always really excited to see how far they can take it. Like, if an alt band like Sleep Token can sell out Wembley in 10 minutes, then anything's possible, do you know what I mean? That the gloves are off in that. So I love that. You know, it's so secretive as well. I love all that. And anyone who tries to unmask them or do all that, I just think it's bullshit. Like, just keep the secret alive. Do you know what I mean? Don't kill Santa Claus. Don't kill the unicorn. Just fucking let us have it.
Santa isn't, I mean, because he is. Don't ruin that for
me.
Well,
this is it. And I would never want to spoil that for anyone. So, yeah, I still believe. I'm a believer. So, even when we played it, you know, they played at Takedown, it was like they locked. We were side of stage for Love and for a few other bands. We was watching them, so hanging out, I think, with Redmeth at the side. And then as soon as it was like Sleep Token's turn, the whole fucking stage gets cleared. The whole back of the stage gets cleared. There's a whole separate back entrance for them. Like, their gear is kept in like a separate part of the building. It's so wild. Like, the operation behind it, it's actually like exciting. Just be like, "What the fuck is going on?" It's like it's like the CIA have turned up. Do you know what I mean? It's like you expect to see man in suits with earpieces. And it's fun. It's a good experience. But I can't remember what I was even talking about now. I'm just talking about Sleep Talking.
I'm just gonna throw it out there and let the conspiracy theorists do their thing. But Sleep Token, Illuminati. That's all I'm saying. I'm just throwing it out there. Right, yeah, get the triangles out. That's what I'm saying. But
I took my tinfoil hat off before the podcast. I'll save to a finish to put that back on.
Amazing.
But yeah, no, it's it's a cool experience to see them doing really well, you know. And if I could get Swifty tickets, I'd buy them as well. I say I'm into everything. It just complicates things. My head's full of music and ideas and fucking experiences from all different types of shit going on. So
that being said, does it make when you're driving to a show, drive to the show to do the show, is it a playlist? Are you listening to a specific band? Do you guys fight in terms of what goes on the radio? Because that's the thing. Like I'm when I'm driving, I'm more of a podcast guy because I get really impatient. I'm like, okay, so I'll be listening. I don't know, play Enter Shikari, and I'll play Enter Shikari, and I'm like, okay, I've had enough of that. Play, and then I'll say something, and Siri, which is probably now going to go off, won't understand what the fuck I've said, and it'll start playing something else, and then I get stressed, and then I've got to, like, not touch my phone. So I'm sorry, if I just play a podcast, it will just play, and it's lovely. How do you kind of manage kind of that that situation?
Yeah, well, you know, we're all pretty amicable. So, and like, in my own car, my own commute and stuff like that, I will listen to podcasts because fucking love it. Or audio books. I quite like listening to stuff that was just like chills me out because I do music so much. I listen to so much different music. It's like a palate cleanser for me. But before a show, it's fucking hype town. It's just like let's go. So we'll put on some like bouncing tunes. Like I particularly love to get like really hyped up to like Electric Callboy or something. Or like hyper or something. It just gets me going. Like my blood's pumping. I'm like, fuck, I'm going to rip the fucking door off. Let's go.
What I love as well is they done the Cascada cover. And I'm just completely prejudging. I'm assuming we're about the same age. So I turned 31 in March, right? So I remember when Cascada came out the first time with that track, and I was like, this is a bop. And then Electric Callboy covers it, and now everyone's like, where has this song been? I'm like, you weren't there for the original, you don't even know how
good you weren't there, man. You don't know what I've seen. I just remember the question, first ever album. I can't remember, it was I think it was the Californication album by Red Hot Chili Peppers. And it was fucking awesome. And it was actually my auntie who was like, weirdly enough, like, oh, you should check this out. And I was like, okay, no worries. So as I was out with them and bought the CD and I took it home, and I was like, fair enough. I didn't know what to expect. And I was fucking blown away. You know what I mean? It was just so amazing. Every track back to back, I could listen to that thing. I must have listened to that album back to back like fucking 300 times, honestly. Because, you know, you didn't have like a great variety like of CDs. Like, so you were reliant on, like, once you've made your purchase, you sort of stuck with it. But I was happy with that. Yeah, it's awesome.
Did you ever take CDs back to your local record stop, CD shop? Because you only have like a variety of excuses. It would either be like, Scratch doesn't play, and like, do you want a different copy? I'm like, no, not really.
No.
Can I just swap it for this one? Well, I'm pretty sure that's a different genre. It's fine. Can I just?
Yeah. Like... you're making the rounds. I mean,
Yeah, you have to go to a different HMV to like change your CD because I've seen your face too many times.
all your disguises have run out. You've run out of different mustaches and eye and like glasses and stuff like that, you know. Sure, I've seen this guy before, like fucking Mr. Magoo.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what though? It did occur to me, I think about it the other day. That never caught, like, so Blockbuster with movies, that never caught on with music, in the sense of like you'd rent a CD and then like give it back. I don't know.
Yeah, I get you.
I mean,
that wasn't a thing. But I used to love Blockbuster. Blockbuster was like an event. You know, if you were going to Blockbuster, it was like, oh shit, this is cool. So you're getting some snacks in, you're getting the films in, and it's a you know, you're making a night, aren't you? So it was exciting. I sort of miss Blockbuster. You know what I mean? I think that was really fun. But I suppose, you know, the Netflix thing's cool and all the other things are cool. It's very accessible. But the whole excitement that you would get going to a Blockbuster, like with your parents and like getting the snacks in and stuff like that, it's like, fuck yeah, this is cool. Yeah, exciting.
And you know what? I think I'm going to say it. I think Netflix has gone down the... I don't know. My other half, Rebecca, she loves watching. She watched anything crime documentary, which puts me a little bit on edge. I'm not going to lie.
Anxiety inducing.
Yeah, if there's not podcasts in 2025, I've been off. Just so you know, I'm just like, this is my cry for help on the podcast now. I'm joking.
Yeah, yeah. The cats will get to you first.
he'll kill us both. I'm sure of that.
I've got
a couple of final questions for you, Aaron. Before we let you on your way, and one of which is, where is the weirdest or the strangest place you've ever played a show? Now, when I say that, it doesn't have to be a negative connotation of being like, we pay to a man and his dog. It can just be a situation where you've been in the band and you've looked around at your bandmates and gone, well, who the fuck's booked this then? What are we doing? It can either be like, you're on the bill and like, why are we, I mean, cool, we'll play it, but why are we here? Like, do you know what I mean? And again, it doesn't have to be like a strange get up. We've had people say like, they've played like pizza parlors and they've played like weird kind of dungeons and shit. Like, it's kind of like, well, how are we here? Like, this is cool, but like.
I mean, say that about most of our shows are almost at weird places, but you know, that just sort of suits our vibe.
Of course.
One of the weirdest ones that's like really bizarre is the engine rooms in London. It's like you're like underneath a train line. So you know those like arches that go like that?
Yeah.
So it's like they've hollowed it out and like put a door on it and made it into a venue. And it's like you go in there and it's just one continuous like tube. And you walk past a couple of practice rooms. Next minute, you're in the room with the stage and you're in the arch, you're in the dome thing. And you plug all your equipment in and everything just reacts to the fucking, like the electric wire stuff that's above you. So if you put your in-ears in, because we have like synths and stuff, you put that in, it's like, it's like, you're connecting with the aliens at this point. Like, it's just like, you're interrupting satellites, there's fucking planes falling out the sky. It's all kinds of interference going on. So it's a weird little venue. But that being said, really fun. You know, it's a sweaty little place, but it did the job. You know, we've played there a couple of times, and each time we go back, we go, oh, fucking hell, this is weird. But you know what? Let's roll it.
Have you ever been to Mayfield in Manchester? It's literally opposite Manchester Piccadilly train station. It's where they held Outbreak Festival last year, and they've held it for a couple of years. Then they've like, it's basically just a big vacuous kind of room, but it's underneath the train line, and it's the fucking sweatiest venue I've ever been.
Yeah, sweat box this time.
And it was good because it was a hardcore festival, but at the same time, went out, 30 degree heat, there was just no air. It was the fucking
air. How do I recover?
I could just taste sweat, and then I got outside and I could just feel heat, and it was just, amazing.
That's a sticky one, that. Imagine all the skinny jeans in that room. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, oh, some major chafage going on. But yeah, no, I've spent my fair amount of time in sweaty little rooms. And to be fair, that, you know, we sort of pride ourselves. Like, we always say, like, we need to be sweatier than you. Like, if we don't come off fucking dripping, we haven't done our jobs properly. Like, you haven't experienced this properly. But if you're in the front row, you're in the splash zone. Do you know what I mean? Because you are like, you best be wearing your ponchos, because we're going to go absolutely fucking 150, and we're just gonna be throwing our hair everywhere. It's gonna go fucking mental, climbing over shit and climbing into people. And yeah, it's a whole thing. But I think the band should definitely out sweat the crowd. That is the absolute must for us.
So when you we talked about Rammstein at the very beginning, right? So when you go to the Rammstein, you've always got the I don't know the exact German pronunciation, but the fire zone essentially. You should just make it. How did you explain it again? The wet is it,
the splash zone. You're in the fucking waves. Fire zone.
You're in the splash zone. As you just need to make that.
our manager needs to get on this. We need to get all these t-shirts. So for the next one, we should make Chris by way of ponchos for our tour in, you know, in March. Well, I don't know when it's going to be. Touring in May, we are, for a headline tour. So we've never headlined like anything before, because we're just not like we've never been a headline band up until this point. And now we're starting to step it up and go, you know what, we can fucking do this, boys. Let's go up and down the country, play these venues, you know, see these people that, you know, have been really loyal to us and really supportive of us. Let's just have a good time. We'll have a little party of our own up and down the country. So looking forward to that.
So this podcast will be going out either the Monday before the album or the Friday of the album. So I'm assuming there'll be tour announcements are in and around that, if not before. People can go and check that out.
And if there isn't, I don't give a fuck. I'll tell you on here right now. You're more than welcome to jump in. So just keep some dates free in May, and then I'll see you all there. Right, that's going to be good.
Yeah. Lovely job. Yeah. I've got a couple of final questions, and a question I asked every single artist in 2023, and there was 104 of them, right? So you've got some stiff competition.
No fucking pressure. That's no cool, Matt.
But the thing is, I feel like you've got the energy and you've got the kind of pizzazz for this question, right?
Oh, so I like it. Spicy words.
I try.
Got that salt, baby. Got that pizzazz. Just a sprinkle in.
So when Spotify, Amazon, insert podcast, people who buy podcasts and host them, whatever, buys this podcast off me, right? One of my rich, famous fucking podcaster.
Absolutely, yeah.
What I'm going to do is, rather than reinvest that money back in the podcast, I'm going to fuck the podcast off. What I'm going to do instead is going to have a one-time big old festival, right? Crushed by Waves are invited, along with all the other bands that have played and performed on the podcast over the last 4 years. Now, amazing. The thing is, because we've got loads of lovely big sponsorship money, we can have whatever we want on the rider of said festival, right? Now, the thing is with this as well, we are having it in the biggest possible field we can get our hands on. So there's no financial limit, and there's no like structural can like contractual kind of obligation. You can have whatever your heart desires. We've had people say to me, so some people, and I'm not going to name names, have just scuppered this entire question and gone, yeah, we just want to play. And it's like, no, you are already playing. You could have...
That's happening. You're all good. Yeah.
the ones I keep going back to in the last couple of episodes is Josh from Cattle Decapitation said to me, I want a laundry service. And I'm like, you're going to be everybody's best fucking friend.
That is a great show. Yeah.
Matt from August Burns Red said to me, I want a full monster truck rally set up at the festival. We've had people who go weirdly like specific on things. Like they said, I had a Norwegian band on, and they wanted a specific Norwegian brand of energy drink to sponsor the festival. We've had like types of food, masseuses come up quite a lot, of massages. What would you like to add on behalf of Crushed by Waves to the festival rider?
I think just to keep on the water and the wet and the splash zone, we could have some sort of fucking like Takeshi's Castle type obstacle course fucking set up. Mm-hmm. Some like mad obstacle course. You fall in the water, you fuck. Because festival's been hot. Like Download Festival was fucking scorching. I think people would have really appreciated some good old fashioned water sports there. Do you know what I mean? So if I could have a big fucking huge obstacle course where the consequences I get nice and wet and cool off a bit in the sun, that'd be awesome. Yeah, so, I wouldn't get very far. I'm not very acrobatic, but yeah, I'd give it a fucking go.
I don't know if this is a really British like thing, institution thing. I don't know what I'm trying to say. But do you remember Total Wipeout, the TV show?
Yes. Yeah.
It was Richard Hammond, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. That's basically it. Go ham on that.
Yeah, they used to go to Argentina, I think I remember. Don't fucking go to Argentina for it. Bring it here.
And bring we'll just, it here. Yeah, make Matt it festival.
Crushed by Waves wet zone. That's what we're calling it.
Let's call it the splash zone. Do you know what I mean? Let's call it the fucking it's fucking splash zone. Everyone's getting in. Do you know what I mean? Let's get wet.
Absolutely. And also, someone requested a couple of episodes ago, it might be a few more than that. Basically, they want Taylor Swift just hanging about, just sort of
just cause. Hugs. Yeah, meet and greet.
Yeah. So I was like,
Taylor Swift serving people drinks just on a tray.
I love it. I've got one final question for you, mate, which is a question I've asked every single artist who's been gracious enough to give us their time on this podcast. And it's a question that is personal to you and only you can answer it. What is the best thing about being in a band for you, Aaron, of Crushed by Waves?
Best thing about being in a band is being able to expel my inner demons and release all my energy and share it with everyone, and then have that energy sort of reversed and sort of thrown and pushed back into me. So like I experience things, you know, through people as well. So like I see other people's faces, like, oh, I see people singing the words, I feel an energy in a room, like it gets me excited. Like the more people start to get fucking all hyped up, I'm getting hyped up, and like that feeling, it is the best feeling. It's the best rush, you know. You can't get that anywhere else, you know. You could probably get as pissed as you want or do anything, even jumping out of a fucking plane. Like there's nothing that will light my fire and like and zap me up the ass with electricity than just like getting in a room with a lot of people sweating my head off, just fucking smashing through music, and everyone's going wild and just having a big fucking party together. Like So I'd just say, like, yeah, live experience is the best thing you can ever experience. And if you're not in a band, you know, give it a go, or, you know, just continue to support those bands that are doing this and keep this scene alive. Keep your live venues open, even the small shows, even bands you don't know. Just go and buy tickets. You'll be dead surprised who's out there and what's out there. Just keep the scene alive. Keep these venues going, and yeah, and just enjoy it. Like, it's the best thing in the world.
Absolutely love that. Immortal Life is out on the 22nd of March, which is either out now or coming out this Friday as you guys are listening to this, or it might be out after that. But any case, it will be out in and around this podcast going out. There is a tour happening up and down the UK, as we've just discussed as well. So go check socials for that. But I've heard they're selling out the O2 now. They're bigger than fucking Sleep Token. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah, something mad happened in between the film.
Yeah,
something mad happened between this episode going out. We hit the big time. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, we're supporting Taylor Swift all over America currently. Yeah. So we sold out. We're in the splash zone ourselves. We got drowned in our own fucking, you know what I mean, our own success.
Absolutely. Is there anything that we need to talk about? Anything you'd like to plug? Anything you'd like to say to the people listening and watching at home?
Just massive thank you to everyone who continues to support us. You know, everyone who's been listening to our music and showing us so much love and support, and like making us feel welcome within the scene. That includes, you know, venues and sort of other bands that have sort of taken us under the wing, and, you know, and given us these opportunities to put us where we are. And, you know, even yourself, Matt, anyone who's got the time to listen to us or listen to our music, you know, I just can't thank you all enough, because it kind of makes all of this, you know, real. It makes it a reality. It makes it you know, it's tangible. It makes it's something. It's not just like in our heads. It's really happening. And these are the best experiences of our lives, so thank you very much. And yeah, if you do happen to check out that album, let us know what you think. Come and you know, come and say hello at a live show. We'll always chat to you. We'll always be stood at the merch table chatting our heads off. I'll chat your ear off, you know what I mean? You'll probably regret that. But yeah, come get some merch and just see what we're about, see what you know we do live, and that's where really things come to life for us. Not more to life. That wasn't meant to be like a pun or anything, but it kind of is now, isn't it?
Love it. Yeah. Thank you so much, mate, for your time. I hope everything goes swimmingly with your record.
Again, thank you.
Water-related jokes. It's a thing.
We need to get off a nautical theme big time, yeah, don't we?
get that merch sorted. Yeah.
Cheers.
I hope it all goes wonderfully. And also, if you want more of Aaron by Crushed by Waves, go and check out the most recent, or it won't be most recent because it's a bit while ago, but the Festpod episode was fantastic. You fucking
cool. I love those boys. Thank you so much. I love Festpod. Those boys have been, they've come to live shows and all kinds. Like, we really get on. Like, yeah, and by all means, Matt, if you want to come to a show, come and see us. I don't know where you're based, but
I'm Norwich, but yeah, I can get down to London and things. Absolutely.
I'd love to see you there, mate. You're welcome to any show. Just come and get on it with us. Yeah, come on, have some fun. Get in the splash zone, boy. Yeah.
Get in the splash zone, absolutely. Yeah,
bring your pod show. Let's go.
Lovely job. See you later, everybody. We'll see you all soon. Peace. Cheers.
Thank you, everyone. Bye.